This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and I don't have a joke.
Beautiful.
I'm Brandy Pate.
Jesus. I made Brandy forget her name.
I don't even know who I am anymore. I'm Brandy Posey, and I only want a baby when I see tiny van shoes, which means I don't want a baby. I just want a tiny foot.
Wow, we are on top.
Really went for it.
I want a baby.
Or you do want a baby.
Yeah.
I thought that was the fun.
Is that a vapor baby?
420 baby. Show, baby.
Vans baby.
All right.
Vans baby.
I'm Tess Berger, and do they let... Tess Berger, and do they let adults take the SATs just for fun?
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
That's the most fucking
great. Yeah. Hell yeah.
They're like, these girls are always drunk. It's great.
Yeah. Well, it was great because I was like, wow, you guys were fucked up.
You were so
karma.
It worked surprisingly fast.
Is that you singing too?
I wish.
Welcome to the show, Lady to Lady. Flawless introduction as usual.
We woke up like this.
We woke up like this. I am Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And before we get going, come see me next month at Crom Comedy Festival in Atlanta on May 20th and 21st. And the week before that, I don't know why I'm doing it the reverse order, but who cares? On Tuesday before that, which is a date I don't remember.
The memento of plugs.
Chattanooga. And then I'm in Birmingham and Huntsville. I don't know. Go to my website, myjokesareuphere.com. It'll probably be on there.
And I have a YMCA fundraiser picture this show this Saturday in the Valley. Come to it. Support a good cause.
Cool.
Yeah. Guys, delightful guest on the show today. One of the four gals in the Pink Collar Comedy Tour, Abby Crutchfield.
Hi, everybody.
Abby Crutchfield.
Oh, the kids are so sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gang's all here.
Super funny on Twitter at Curly Comedy. And you can, if you're in New York, you can actually get a Twitter joke writing class from her at the Pit on the 27th.
That's right.
April, so
7 to 10 p.m. We're going to workshop jokes. We're going to tweet shop tweets.
Yeah.
It's like
tweets.
You learn the lingo.
There you go.
Have an arsenal.
Twitter lingo is just saying tweet before everything. It's like Smurfs talk, you know? Like they just say Smurf for every word.
Do they do that?
They did. Did you ever watch it as a kid?
I did, but I don't remember that part.
All adjectives, everything was smurfy, but then some verbs were like, don't smurf before you leap. It was really
what a,
weird.
What a easy writer, like, there's like, I can't think of
they had one
smurf
writer.
Yourself.
Yeah. Two smurfs walk in a bar. Bartender says, we don't smurf any smurf.
That's right.
But I'm a smurf.
Yeah. I'm smurfing here.
Exactly.
I thought Smurfette was so pretty. I wanted
to
look.
She had enormous white high heels. And the thing is, her feet didn't fit in them But mine didn't either in my mom's shoes, so I really could relate to her.
Yes. Maybe that's why they did it.
They're so little and cute. They're like, the kids will watch and get this. I don't know.
I played Smurfette. I dressed up as Smurfette for Halloween once.
I love that you're like, I played Smurfette.
I played Smurfette in the national tour
production of my Halloween.
It was really fun, though. I did blue paint everywhere.
Yeah, it's like Blue Man Group.
Nice.
Yeah.
With a dress. Wasn't she, like, made by Gargamel as, like, a sleeper cell agent or something?
So.
That was her whole thing. Because she was supposed to, like, she was
supposed
get in
to infiltrate
there.
The Smurfs.
This is, like, comic book nerddom.
Yeah.
Like, you know the original story, the origin story of
Smurfs. I have blue hair, so I'm a big fan.
It's appropriate.
This feels very appropriate for the 420 show, also.
Yeah, happy 420, everyone.
Happy 420, guys.
Happy
420. My favorite holiday.
It is.
And Tessa's anniversary as well.
Anniversary. It's my sister's birthday.
Wow. It's also someone else's birthday. We decided my cat Linny. His birthday is 420.
I was going to say Hitler, but.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and Hitler.
And
do you guys know you can smoke marijuana on 420?
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
The only day it's allowed in California.
That's
Whoa.
Right. That's another reason this date is special. I don't know if you guys knew that. I just thought I'd throw that in.
I've heard Thank word you. Of that. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a whiff, if you will. Denver with my boyfriend as soon as we drove in. He was like, hey, you can try pot.
When in Amsterdam.
Yeah. Maybe I'll give it a whirl.
Oh, man.
420 is just great, though. Because, yeah, you can smoke pot. But also, it's just like, it's the, for me, 420 is the first day of summer. I think that's why I like it so much.
Out here in LA?
Yeah. Huh, in nice. California, I think.
What? That is, you're the only person who has that.
Yeah, that's a Tess Barker original.
It's the first day of April? Yeah.
Well, I feel like the first day of summer happened in New York, and then the next day of winter, and there's just really crazy weather right where I'm from right now. So
yeah,
I think it's okay. With climate change, it's the first day of summer.
We can make our own rules. And you know what? I'm fine with me being the only person who thinks that because it just makes it more special.
No, that is true.
It sounds like she's celebrating early is what you it need sounds to
make,
like.
Yeah, you need to make your own calendar. 420 is the first day of summer. The 420 block would have a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. I need like 40 hours for 420.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a lot of presents you have to consider.
Yeah.
Anniversary gift, birthday gift for family.
Yeah.
Linny's gift.
Linny's cat gift. Oh, my God, cat. I didn't know my God cat's birthday was 420, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's so many Google Calendar appointments in one day.
What do you get the cat that has every kind of cat food? Necessary? I mean, what else can you get a cat
besides
food? Yeah,
what does Lenny want for his birthday?
He has so many toys already.
He's got enough. He's spoiled. He's fine.
I just took cats so many toys.
Get him the outdoors because he wants to go out so badly.
Aww.
Because I'm keeping him prisoner and it feels terrible.
What if we got him a giant hamster ball to roll around in your front yard? Like a big one.
Yeah, actually something like that would be great. He got out three times this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a regular Andy Dufresne, this cat.
Yeah.
Andy Dufresne.
He was in Shawshank Redemption, Tim Robbins' character.
I hear that character name all the time, and I never remember.
I have a more obscure reference for you. He reminds me of the kids in Wolfpack. Have you guys seen that on Netflix?
No, I need to see it.
It's sheltered family. The father and mother were very protective, Hare Krishna related people. And anyway, these kids, their window to the world was movies, so they watch a lot of movies.
Oh.
And that's what your cat does. He reenacts films.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Great.
Yeah, he's trying to...
He's
reenacting the life he had before I imprisoned him in my home because we found him in a backyard in like Palm Springs and then decided he was my cat. And now
we might have stolen him.
I thought he was a stray, but it turns out he'd already
balls.
Been fixed because he had balls.
He didn't have balls.
But he had been fixed. He had visible balls.
He had a ball
really
sack,
there.
But no testicles.
Really cute balls.
Yeah,
very adorable.
The preferable kind.
Yeah.
But anyway, he keeps escaping.
Oh,
and he comes back, but you know,
how does someone just comes and he just jets out?
Yeah, he's escaped out a window twice. It was so funny. We were like, he escaped once in the daytime because the side door was left open accidentally, and we found him. And then I was sitting there writing at my kitchen table, and I saw outside. I just saw him walking by, and I was like. Is that
he's
the cat?
You.
Yeah.
Like, guess what?
And he had gotten through like a window. So anyway.
He'll get hungry. He'll come back.
Yeah.
If he ever leaves, he'll come back.
I have a good feeling that like he would be a good outdoor cat and he would come back. But like their coyotes are like rampant in our area.
They're really bad right now.
They're really bad. They're like killing people, dogs on leashes and shit.
They're
so
hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. The drought's really fucked them up.
What
out
are
here.
They not eating that they should be? Rabbits?
I get
they,
well the droughts
easily anything really small.
It's like really driven them out of like any of the wooded areas, I guess, or some shit. I don't know anything. But.
And they're learning not to eat like mice or rats because a lot of them are getting poisoned, and then the coyotes are eating mites and rats poison and getting mange.
Oh, I didn't
so
know
like
that.
They're not eating those.
They're like raptors. So... They're learning.
Yeah,
they're evolving.
Raptors and the algorithm. They can all learn.
Yeah
they're
man.
Getting a lot of ads on their side when they look at stuff on Amazon.
Yeah.
They're very savvy coyotes.
Teach some coyotes Twitter jokes. That would be amazing. Yeah,
I will. Well, I do have two enrolled in my class. And since we're speaking in the future, we're recording this early, but I'm going to look back on this tour I just finished and say it was pretty awesome.
Hell yeah.
Sold out shows.
Oh, yeah.
Every night. Weirdly, panties were thrown on stage.
In your sizes, right?
I know,
that's perfect.
Yeah, fresh new ones.
That's great.
You should insist.
That would be amazing.
Oh my God,
thank you.
Did you guys just start here? Is this where you're starting?
Yeah, our first city is LA, and then Santa Cruz, San Francisco, Ashland, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle. And this will be my first time in a lot of those cities, Ashland, Portland, and Seattle.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's really fun.
Like Portland's hoping for amazing. All the rain and seeing like elements from the show Frasier.
Seeing Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. Seeing Kurt Cobain.
Microbrews. Really. Do you like microbrews?
I will.
Those are fucking everywhere, though.
I like beer. I don't know the difference between tastes of things.
What don't is, say that makes, in Portland.
I know. What makes microbrews special?
Okay, I actually don't know. Okay. I just, I think
they have nice labels, yeah. I think.
Yeah, is it like a scrapbook? It's like someone just showing you their little art, but it's beer.
Yeah, but it's
hand-drawn.
Yeah, it's conceptual beer.
You can actually just pay with gold stars.
Like, yeah, great.
No, Portland is, I think, a very special place. And, you know, like anything else, people say that, like, maybe the magic has died. But I don't know. I was there, like, 5 years ago, and I was in a vintage clothing store, and they were having a contest. All of a sudden, there were naked people running around because they were having a contest that whoever could put on the most clothes would win, like, those clothes. Mm-hmm. So that's like Portland. It was just like in a random store, and then all of a sudden a bunch of naked people were running around putting on vintage clothes.
Wow.
So I think
it was a happening.
Kind of sums it up.
You can tell like how good of a city you're in by how many nude events they have for
you. Yeah.
Like how artsy of a city.
I think so. New York's a pretty naked city.
Definitely, you know? Times Square. There's a new thing happening. But are people in Portland, let's offend them all by generalizing, are they largely artistic or largely kind of kooky?
Both.
Okay. It's, who is it? Guy Branum has the joke that what does he say about Portland? It's like, Portland is LA if it was just a hobby or something like that. Yeah. He has like some joke about it.
You're not really there for your
people
career.
Have a lot of time on their hands to do kooky things. So
great.
Yeah, for better or for worse. Like, okay, I think one really like Portland thing. Okay, the two most like Portland things are like everyone has chickens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people love chickens.
Chickens and pinball. People love chickens and pinball in Portland.
Oh, okay.
There's also a farm. Like,
I'm only half interested in both of those things.
There's a patch of grass where you can hire goats to mow your grass.
You know what I mean?
That's really cute.
Yeah.
So
it's very cute.
Yeah.
I love it. I fucking love that city. It's great.
I remember one time I was walking down the street and I thought I was looking at garbage, and then I saw that something had like a verse written on it, and I was like, is this trash? Or is this an art? I don't know what I'm looking at.
Purposeful trash.
Yeah, it was like it was so haphazard, but then it was like, but I really looked at it, I was like, oh, this is presented as if it is an installation of some kind.
So street art.
Yeah, basically.
Wow, the poor garbage men are so confused.
You know, I have to say, I really like actually when people write, like, you know, because I run, like, and I just need something to distract me, and when people write like little messages or poems, like when they graffiti, I guess it is graffiti, on like walls or streets. I actually kind of like it. If you have something interesting to say.
Yeah, it's nice. Better than like a gray wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And better than coded symbols. Like, I respect the underground graffiti world, but I don't feel like I'm a part of it. I don't get it. So it's nice when someone says something witty or clever.
Well, I think art out in the real world is fun because it's like, you know, I don't really go to museums very much, or it's like, or I'm just scrolling on my computer and someone's like, look at this amazing video, but I'm still just like hunched over a thing.
Yeah. Right?
So seeing kind of like random messages people put up outside is nice.
Well, and like the stigma against street art is so classist and ridiculous. Like, there was that book, I think came like 15 years ago, called No Logo. I don't know if any of you guys remember.
What are books?
It's like a tweet, but like a bunch of them, and on paper.
Right. Yeah. You like printed out your Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. But basically, she's talking about how like corporate space. I mean, our spaces have been taken over by corporations, right? But like buildings. I mean, sorry, billboards are like all these big signs. Like, we don't have a choice about whether we want to look at that stuff.
True.
But the second someone who doesn't have money, like a corporation, decides to put something up that we're all going to look at, it's like stigmatized and it's a crime and it's like so ugly and it's graffiti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like that's happening less and less, though, right? I mean, I see so much of it. I don't think.
There's
really
more organized art.
It depends. I mean,
street art. Mm-hmm. It's more organized. And also, it's on public property. So then there's that issue. Like, if you're the business owner that has the brick wall that someone tagged, you're kind of like pissed off about it.
Yeah, I agree. But like, I mean,
why
billboards...
am I fighting for that person?
The people who take the time to do a great mural, I hate like shitty tags. You're just like, all right, what the fuck is
tagging
this?
Is different to me. Tagging is different. I mean, it is different.
Okay,
than street art. Tagging is like a gang claiming an area.
I was thinking of tagging only. You're right. There is a difference.
Yeah. Like muralists.
I think there are some definitely, though, really bad, like, community murals where everyone looks like they're melting. And I, like, hope that, I don't hope that humanity all dies, but, you know, when it happens.
I mean, it will happen.
Yeah. I just think it would be so funny if, like, aliens came down and, like, that was the only representation they had of people and they thought we were all just these, like, half-melted, badly drawn, like, community murals.
Even our best-looking people, though, will be unattractive to aliens. They'll be like, ew, two ears. Gross.
Yeah, that's true. We're probably disgusting to them.
This
Why are they probing us all the time?
That wasn't an alien, Barbara.
That he said. Yeah. Do you guys believe in those alien abduction stories?
Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated. Yeah. There are so many.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many there are. Seem to be through the years.
What
I
are mean, they finding out though?
How we tick.
How we tick.
Like how we
are. You crap.
They should sit in on a therapy session though. How we tick. Putting
they probably
up
don't
people's
speak
butts
our languages.
Not,
it's like any, like, right. You know, the way we dissect things to figure out how they work.
Well, but how many do you need though? Why do it's like we keep
37.
Doing it.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think aliens maybe. What if they were here before us? How, why is it they're necessarily that they're in. Coming to visit here? And again, I did shrooms this weekend, but
mm-hmm. like you're just rehashing an idea you had over the weekend.
There are like multiple dimensions. Though, so like we could easily have aliens with us right now, right. And it's like in a wavelength.
It's like a very, very evolved human. Yeah. Could be also.
They could be like posing as your producer of the show, and mm-hmm. you wouldn't even know it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and like I mean, I don't know. The world is so big that they have to. The universe is so big that they have to exist, so I 100% believe that they've probably been here.
Because, I agree, too, but I don't necessarily think that they've been here.
Also, we discredit people that have seen aliens so fucking hard that I feel like that's, like, it's, like, such a great opportunity for a government cover-up to be like, those people are crazy. Don't believe anything about that. And it's like, well, what really happened then?
Well,
like,
how many degrees away are we from people who've claimed to seen one? I've never known anybody who's actually said they've been abducted.
I
think that's the problem. If we knew more people that it happened to, we could understand it better, but for me it just feels like if it's not that, then people are lying. It's a big conspiracy among the people who feel like they want to be special, or something is really happening to these people, but they're having to understand it that way by saying it's aliens. But
well, what? I listened to a podcast about Roswell recently, and if you guys are into like alien podcasts, Last Podcast on the Left has done some really great episodes about it lately.
Cool.
And like the Roswell one's really interesting because it's like all these people have all these memories, and like they were from different places and they all had the same facts. Mm. And there's actually like things that were reported to the government that were then redacted and are like completely like there's all this like weird space stuff that was like found and then the government like took it away and then actually just presented and like what it, the evidence that is actually there is just like, oh, it's like a weather balloon that's broken. But like there's all these people that were like, oh no, it was like this weird kind of metal that was like molded to me and all
like,
this stuff.
Like not everything has been explained.
Yeah, there's a lot of like weird stuff that hasn't been explained. And then like people that were like high up in the government, like they kind of like dropped out and got really fucked up from everything that happened.
Whoa.
There too. There's like,
it, also, I have an idea.
It messes with people's minds a lot.
But how come the government knows about it only.
I have a theory about that.
Okay.
What if, since we're not allowed to experiment on humans yet, the government is using its authority to do that, but then they're manipulating the whole storyline by having these people think that it was aliens.
Oh.
Yeah. It's possible. I mean, I think a lot of the alien stuff probably is a government cover up for shit that they've done, because it is like, oh shit, we like dropped a bomb to see if it would work. Oh, people are upset about it. Oh, aliens were here. These people are crazy. It's a really nice misdirect.
It was like I remember 6 months ago or something when there were all these weird like blue lights like dashing over LA. Sorry, they're a missile. Oh my god, it
you
was a missile.
Did we talk about that?
We didn't. I didn't see it, but everyone was talking about. It. I missed
it.
It
was really weird.
Honestly,
they were bizarre.
It was so weird. I forgot about
that. What did you
think
was happening at the time?
It was nothing you could explain.
You weren't like Aurora Borealis or...
No, it was very close, though.
It wasn't lightning, though. Mm.
It was sideways. It was going straight across.
Yeah.
It was like these lightning... But it wasn't lightning. It was like light smatters
in the sky. And then it came out and there was like, oh, yeah, somebody fired a missile the wrong way. Over L.A.? What?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Okay.
Yeah, so... but it's just funny because everyone dropped it the next day. I was just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, now they really have us by the balls. Because, like, we wouldn't... I mean, remember there was a severed head found at the Hollywood sign?
Yeah.
Never got follow-up on that.
What? No. Because they just keep bombarding us with shit every day, man.
You know what's weird? I you guys remember... It was maybe... 6 months ago again too. This woman, sorry, this is kind of horrible to bring up, but this woman was walking in Hollywood and she just like got shot.
Oh yeah,
I remember that. Yeah,
and it
yeah.
turned out that she was like a PA, and the guy she had worked for some guy, and he owed her money, and he didn't want to pay it, so he just killed her. And he owned some weird clothing shop that is right by my therapist's office. And I would go to therapy and like look at it and be like, oh man, what's gonna happen? And now it's a weed shop. So
there you go.
Get weed at
happy
that
420.
Former
this
murderers.
Is a happy ending.
Yeah, happy 420. Former murderers.
It all comes back full circle.
Store.
Oh man,
there's so much unexplained in the world.
Yeah. It's a lot out there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But we solved at least some of it today.
And all of it.
Yeah, that was good. Good for us.
Yeah, I don't really I get scared of aliens, but I guess something solid would probably have to happen to me, or like you said, to someone I know, mm-hmm. for me to really.
Yeah, I guess like to me aliens and ghosts are a similar category where it's like I soft believe in them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, probably. But it's like, do I think
why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It
doesn't affect me either way. Like, I might as well believe in this just to be prepared.
Exactly.
It's one more thing to not trust about the world around me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more disturbed by the idea that there is life outside of this earth that is not more intelligent than us. And it's mm-hmm. just like microbes and bacteria or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, oh,
that's boring.
How do we get anywhere after the planet is destroyed by us?
Right. We need buddies.
Yeah.
It would be so funny if we really literally did live in like the marbles from Men in Black at the end.
Yeah.
Keep getting bigger. That's the other dimension. It's an actual physical dimension, but we're just too small to see it. But
yeah.
It's there.
Totally.
It's not invisible. It's just not computable.
We're just some nerdy aliens little figurines they've been painting this whole time.
You're like, now they're gonna start a podcast. Wow, it's been 4 years.
Yeah. Mom, get out of my room.
Yeah.
Mom alien.
Well, I'm proud of him for inventing so many talented female comedians.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. On the podcast.
Very
it's
progressive.
Got a good imagination. Yeah, like even
really
if I am like a piece of alien poop dust, like at least I'm having fun being alien poop dust.
Yeah.
You got demoted real quick. You were like their dolls that they're pretending with, and now they're just like their waste.
They're a realist.
You never know.
All right, we'll be back.
Think about that, man.
We're back. I'm Tess.
I'm Brandy.
Barbara. We're out with Abby Crutchfield.
Hello, children.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
Hello, children. Welcome to class.
Welcome to the show.
Miss Abby.
Yes, I'm.
We have a game. Would you like to play a game?
I love games.
Okay, good.
Hell yeah.
Tess David. Games.
Yeah, I do like, but I like this game.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when.
All right, so
you get it.
Yeah, did I win?
Yeah.
We just forced people to listen to our stupid songs. And that's all.
Didn't interrupt. Congratulations.
Yeah. We're basically still like kids that are like, let's put on a dress-up show.
Yeah. We definitely.
Do you like
in
it?
Every
you like
sense
it?
Of the word.
Instead of mom, look at this. It's your guest. You're like, listen to this.
Yeah.
Okay, go. Watch.
All right, question number one. Who's a good boy?
You're a good boy.
Oh my god, thank you.
Yeah, I was visualizing my dog, Sherlock. Aww. He's a good boy.
Oh, Sherlock.
What kind of dog is Sherlock?
He's a Bull Pay, which is a designer breed that we got from a rescue because this backyard breeder was not able to sell him. Because all Bull Pays, which is a Bulldog and Shar Pei, do not have a distinct look yet. If you look them up on Instagram and you're just like hashtag Bull Pei.
Yeah, I want to see this.
Hashtag
Bull Pei.
I'll show you mine right now.
They
it's
look,
such a fancy sounding name, Bull
they
Pei.
They either look like mostly Bulldog or mostly Shar Pei, but they don't match and it's odd.
Oh, I see.
Oh, cuties.
I was picturing a bulldog in a toupee. That's what I was thinking
it
was. A
bulldog with a toupee.
Yeah, that's what I thought you had.
It's like wrinkled face plus body and all of the bad health that both can have.
Yeah.
No, I'm hoping it's none of the bad health. They're mutts. Maybe
mutts
they can
good.
Have none
the
of that.
The best thing
weird.
You can do is...
That looks like a really good squishy face to put your face in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shar Peis are like bred to be guard dogs, which is cool. And bulldogs are bred to just drown in a toilet. They're just the dumbest creature alive. So hopefully
the
ours are more intelligent, but still as lovable.
It'd can be like tell? A Darman Greg in a dog.
Yeah. You know that reference?
You know, because Dharma was dumb.
Wait, I'm dumb. Shawshank
Redemption? No, I didn't. It
she
didn't make sense,
of,
I realized.
Yeah, loopy.
It didn't make sense.
They complement each other.
That would be a great show if somebody had like a Dharma and Greg split personality. And they were just constantly cleaning up after themselves or making a mess
They're
for themselves.
They're their own odd couple.
Yeah.
Dharma and Greg was like a revisited Odd Couple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit!
What?
Nothing is original.
Okay, what is your favorite time of day? Which is a weird question for comedians because our days are all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite moment of the day is going to the bathroom as soon as I wake up. I really enjoy that.
That's a great
time. And also the dogs, they're new puppies-ish. Like, we got them at 6 months and now they're 9 months. But they sleep in a kennel in the bathroom. So in the morning, they're super excited to see me and they have their ears back.
Aww.
And it's just really cute. You get cuddles and you get to poop at the same time.
Aww.
So there's Sherlock. What is the other one's name?
Watson.
Watson? Perfect.
Correct.
God. Have you taught Sherlock no shit Sherlock when he doesn't poop in the house?
Nice. No one at the dog park has said that one yet.
Oh, man.
Everyone says they should have a cat named Moriarty in the house. Like, they should have an enemy.
Meowiarty.
Meowiarty.
Yeah. Pun it up over here.
Points for you.
Thank you.
They're pretty awesome. So I guess the best part of the day is the morning, but I'm super tired then. So
yeah. I think the morning is, I mean, for me it's the best because it's just like before any bullshits happen.
Just like, you're getting your bearings on the day.
It's still, it's still pure.
I haven't ruined my life by looking at social media yet.
Yeah, anytime before you check your phone.
Yeah.
This is the best part of the
day. If it brings you down, you don't have to check it.
Oh, I know, but I'm addicted.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny, yeah.
a lot of our lives are wrapped up in it. I also love sunset time when I'm like coming home from whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In Brooklyn, where I live, for some reason, the pollution from the Gowanus Canal just makes a sky really pretty. It's like cotton candy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Gorgeous. I really like it out here right now because our nights are lasting so long.
Yeah.
So we're having evenings for 4 hours.
I love those. Mm-hmm. I love wearing shorts at night outdoors.
Yeah.
That's my first favorite day of the year is when you can wear shorts and a tank top at night.
So AKA 420.
Okay, so today, happy 420, everyone.
Oh, so many good memories. Tess is wearing marijuana sunglasses.
Probably. So. Probably got up early. But yeah, I'm sure. What am I doing? I'm probably at lunch with friends. Hi.
Yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah. I used to take 420 off work.
Yeah, I would think that I don't smoke, but I would think that it's more of a time to be at rest. But you can also start your day and
you can
do stuff.
If you have to.
A time to be at rest.
Yeah.
420 is the time to be at rest.
Give yourself a break.
Yeah. Why not?
Don't go out and do errands. It's 4:20, but I still have to get some work done. Gotta go to Staples.
Yeah.
No, not on the holy day. Okay.
Am I doing this right?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
This is
perfect.
Anything you want to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just like jumping off points. That's all it is.
Cool. Okay. When does it end?
When it ends, jeez. I think about when is life going to end all the time, which is so sad. You just reminded me of it.
I do too. It's cool.
So I believe in 2058, because I remember as a kid, I took the average lifespan. I heard the average lifespan of an American woman is 76 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was 1990 something when I took it. And so I was like, wow, okay, I guess 2058. I'm born in 82. I don't know if I did the math right just
there. That's pretty.
But as a kid, I think I just remember that. So that year sticks out as a weird year for me.
That's so funny.
That's good because it seems so far away.
Yeah, a kid has that's their thought. Like, oh, I better figure out what year I'm going to die then.
No idea. I know. Is this all I have?
Good way to plan, though. I like that.
So for me, 2058. But for you guys, God willing, I guess. I don't know if I'm going to.
Who knows?
Never know.
I watched Armageddon yesterday, and I died. No, I watched. And at the beginning, it's like a big, asteroid shower in New York or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of terrifying to watch. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, oh, yeah, anything could happen. Who knows? We don't know when.
So at the beginning of Armageddon is what really drove it home that anything can happen in this life.
But is the end of human, is it more depressing to think that you'll die or that the sun will explode and that everything that you ever have known will explode?
Well, my theory is I don't want to die in a massive thing because then my death won't get as much solo attention, and I really need a lot of Facebook posts.
But you won't get around to see them, or will you? Are you going to haunt your
I guess I'll find out if I believe in ghosts then.
You'll find out soon.
Yeah. No. You want to be a ghost just for that 48 hours after the fact.
Oh, for sure.
Just
right?
To please. See how much you matter.
This is why I'm a strong proponent of faking your own death.
Yes.
You can see everything that you would have missed, and then you can.
And then you'll know what's going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Really
and then smart. Everyone will be excited when you come back.
First, folks. They will be so happy to see you.
Yeah.
Damn.
Just don't stay gone too long where you haven't paid taxes because then they'll throw you in prison.
Oh.
Or you can just move to a different country, start over.
Yeah,
but then you want to come back and have the excitement. Well, no, yeah. That
send letters to the people you want to fetch.
Right.
Yeah.
Or specifically come back and haunt people. Just do or it that. So that you can dress up
in
like
the other a ghost. In Deep Impact at the end of that movie.
So what's up? You just
you watch all
only the beginning and the end of Deep Impact.
When the same kind of movie is released each year, she watches both.
I just have lately, like, I've had no time to myself, so whenever I like have a few hours, I've been watching like adventure movies.
A similar 90s, late 90s adventure.
Asteroid or Comet.
Right.
And I think it's at the end of the Deep Impact. I can't remember. But there's a guy who's like saying goodbye to his wife because they know he's going to not make it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to haunt you.
Oh, boy.
Don't promise. That's so a terrible hard. Thing to take. Like, ugh. You're going to hook up with a new guy and I'm going to be there watching.
Yeah, it's like, please don't.
Yeah. I... Don't say that.
The word haunt can never be romantic.
No.
Yeah, no, that's not.
This is one of our favorite haunts.
Oh, that's kind of.
Well, it's quaint, but it's still.
That's not romantic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, whoever said that to, I would not like that guy. That guy wears like one of those newsboy caps.
But, like, yeah, exactly.
This is one of my favorite haunts. Everyone knows me.
But let me ask you this. Does it also end if you're, I don't know if you lose your mind, but you're still here. You're not dead. But you don't have like your faculties that you used.
Oh,
that's the thing I'm concerned about the most. If my brain starts to go, I will hire a hitman. With my last few brain cells.
They'll be very
My last few brain cells. I will sign a contract that I'm done.
Dude,
take
this
me
is,
out,
Brandy. You just wrote such a good movie. Like you hire your own hitman, forget you hired him, and then you have to escape your own hitman that you hired.
That's right. You're like, why are they chasing
that's
me?
That's a great idea.
But you spoiled the ending. I think just save that for the save the fact that you hired him for the very end, and you've got a great movie.
Yes.
Here's the contract.
Who signed me?
It's and then it turns out that it's you.
Whoa.
And you have a split person.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The Dharma's whole time?
It's like Shutter Island meets.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot to us. Okay.
This is what happens when you come to Hollywood, baby. Lots of pitches.
Always ABP. Always be pitching.
I hear that, and I don't see the people. I went to the coffee shop today, and I didn't see anybody writing on a laptop.
Which coffee shop were you at?
This was something Cielo. Does that ring a bell? On Main Street in
Santa Monica. Oh, Santa Monica.
You've been all over LA today.
Just been around the world.
Yeah.
I walked by several coffee shops and decided that one had the best looking pastries.
Nice.
That's a good way to judge it.
I'm not a coffee snob.
Oh, yeah, man.
Pastry snob. Agreed.
I was in a coffee shop in Santa Monica over the weekend, too, and I saw a girl who I, like, barely know, and I saw her come in and order, and I was like, Alicia! And then I was like, and she didn't hear me, and I was like, and I just left.
She missed her chance.
That's exactly what you had to.
Because it wasn't that I was embarrassed she didn't see me, I realized that I really didn't want to talk to her.
You just rethought it,
and then I was like, oh, no. So I just wish, I hope somebody else saw that. Because I, like, packed up real quick. I was like, I'm out.
No, I would rather run into an enemy than someone that I kind of know.
Yes.
Why? What would you do with an enemy?
I mean,
would you confront them?
Kind
or
of knows are just so bad.
Yeah, well, like the enemy, I could at least throw some shade at, or like I know how to deal with it.
You know the social contract.
Yeah. Like I mean, yeah, there would be some icy stairs where we'd figure it out. But like, yeah, someone you kind of know, what a fucking hell.
Yeah. Well, there's a family on my block. They're always like pushing a stroller. They've got this cute new baby, super sweet. And when the baby was born, we ran into each other on the street and was like, oh, congratulations, hugs. Mm-hmm. Then like you know, a month or so later, hey, where are you headed? Same direction, great, let's walk. But you're running out of conversation.
Yeah.
So just the other day I saw them and I was like, oh, I hope they don't see me. And then I was like, oh, what am I being a jerk for? And then I walk ahead and then I see them hanging back.
Oh.
And I was like, are you guys thinking that it's awkward to run into me?
Oh, man.
And they did. They were like, hey, how are you? You know what? We can't stay, so we're just gonna go across the street. And I'm like, have a great day.
Yeah.
But cool.
Fair enough.
Okay, like I'm glad that you guys now that's behind you, but I'm so sorry that you had to do that.
Yeah. I should have called them out on it. Why are you guys running away from me?
Yeah. I know what you're doing. I wanted to do it to you. How dare you do it to me? Yeah.
Right?
It is really hard because it's like if someone's not in your life regularly, it's just you can't have like a normal conversation. You know what I mean?
You're
gonna be like, oh yeah, I got all this stuff going on because then you're that person.
Yeah.
So it's just it's really hard to find that balance of what do you even talk about.
I'm kind of. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just thinking we should have like a, I don't know, something we can all pull from, like
icebreaker cards.
Yeah.
Sure, there's like.
That's
a board
what
game.
I like about Facebook because I do know a lot of what's going on in people's lives, so I can sometimes be like, oh, I saw this.
I thought you did that.
Yeah, icebreaker questions are so much better because you can skip through the small talk. I remember being at a dog park and I was making small talk with this guy, like, what kind of dog do you have? Oh, where do you live in the neighborhood? That's great. And I was getting bored with myself talking. Then this other guy walks in and the man I'm talking to goes, I looked up your ex-father-in-law, and he is quite a distinguished man. And I was like, I want to steal that line.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, I looked up your ex-father-in-law. Distinguished man.
Oh, man. I always remember somebody telling me that if you're in Mensa and you go to Mensa meetings, they all have stickers that they wear that are either green, yellow, or red. And it's still your level, basically your level on the autistic spectrum for like,
oh, nice.
Oh, you can like go up and like hug somebody that has a green sticker, and yellow is like, feel them out if you want to go talk to them, and red is just ignore them. Just ignore them. And I like wish we had that color system.
They don't want you here.
On a daily basis, just to be like, you know what? I really don't want to talk to anybody. Red sticker it up. Leave me alone.
I definitely have that in me. I'm just kind of trying to work on being more like, what if I'm less focused on myself and more just nice? Like, what if I look people in the eye more? Look at that. How does that feel, guys?
Feels great.
Okay, good. You can
handle it. It's burning.
Thank you. Get out.
Human connection.
I feel like that would break down some of my issues with that. You know, like the worried about what if I have nothing to say.
I've gotten better with it. Yeah, it is just listen, and like it is easier than I think we might think it is to have those conversations, but I think doing comedy, there's just so much of it that it's like you can't.
I also have a phobia of, because I feel like I'm always kind of running late and on my way somewhere. And, like, I also have a phobia of, like, being trapped. Like, someone's going to have too much to say.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, a crazy attractor.
Yeah.
I took the bus the other day. I was on, because I had to go to do this thing at USC, and I wasn't driving because of my broken butt. And so,
Tess had a broken butt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay. I broke my butt. still broken. So I'm on the bus. I had headphones and a book.
That's a red tag right there.
You know what you need? You need to get a brunette traveling wig.
Maybe for
like
the bus.
Honestly, I think platinum blondes need brunette traveling wigs.
You do have a Chrissy truly from Three's Company vibe,
right?
Yeah,
I know. We do need travel wigs.
Seriously, because when I was a blonde,
like, he goes over my book and he keeps waving at me. I'm like, I nod at him, like, no, I'm not. And he just keeps waving at me. I'm like, so I take out my headphones. He's like, what book are you reading? I'm like,
are you fucking kidding me? You can literally read
it. How dare you?
Yeah. And like, I happened to be reading a book about screenwriting. And I was just like, a book about screenwriting. He's like, oh, you're a screenwriter? And I just shot him a look of death. And I just nodded in my head, no, and like put my headphones back in.
Yeah. In New York, it's so much more respectful to just leave people alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody, even if you're friendly, you don't want to make eye contact because you're like, I don't want to do that to that person right now.
No.
Keep that going.
Yeah.
But yeah, that you can also feel free to say I don't want to talk right now, or just flat out ignore them. It feels rude, but it's better than
I think it's rude. I mean, to me, to even talk to someone who has headphones in is a faux pas.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? There was a guy who did like a thing on the subway recently where he was reading a bunch of fake books, like that had giant titles on them that were really weird that people were looking at. It would be funny if you had a fake book cover that said called Don't Fucking Talk to Me.
Yeah.
And then if anyone asked, they would look at it and hopefully not, but then if they asked you,
just read.
Don't fucking talk to me.
That's in the deluxe traveling brunette.
Yeah, traveling brunette.
This,
wig.
You got to patent this.
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank immediately.
I do. I have worn a blonde wig out. And definitely more people talk to me.
Yeah, when I was a blonde, people talked to me all the time. And was like, no.
Yeah.
It's an
interesting social experiment.
I guess. Yeah, maybe it's just like people are moths and my hair is just like a light bulb.
Yeah. I think blonde is also so very like bubbly and fun. And they're like, oh, this is going to be a fun, friendly person. So
but that just must be from the media.
Yeah.
Right? Like for years, all the commercials just had blonde families.
Yeah.
We're socialized.
That's all Mm-hmm. Well, and I think blonde, like, you look younger when you're blonde because, like, kids have blonde hair.
Yeah,
so it's, like,
right.
A
even a brunette
was once
a blonde as a kid.
Yeah, So it's, like, I think that's why people associate it with being carefree, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tess, have you ever been the crazy person?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask if I'd ever been brunette.
No.
I was like, you know I haven't.
How dare you?
No, I've never been the crazy person. Of course, you know I have.
But I mean, like, in conversation, you probably haven't, right? Not the person who's keeping someone there.
I don't think so. I think I'm fairly good at, like, picking up on, like, when people are done talking to me.
Yeah, I pride myself on, like, knowing when it's time to...
Although, just today at the coffee shop, I did make a woman take her earbuds out to ask if I could pet her dog. I was going to go fine. On in there, but I was like, hi, I just want your dog. I don't want you.
Well, that trumps. That trumps because you don't want to. Yeah. You don't want to touch a dog that without
also,
permission.
Also, you didn't probably have a goal of eventually fucking her or her dog.
Right. It was it was going to be a short transaction.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
She was very, very kind to her credit, but it was an earbud situation where I should have just leave the dog alone.
No, but I think dog owners get it because, like, I mean, I know, like, when I travel and I don't have my dogs, like, every single dog I see, I can't help it.
Right.
I, like, have to talk to them.
Yeah.
So I think you get it when you're a dog owner.
Totally.
Is it like I walk by the dog park and I feel like it's a whole secret community that I'm sadly missing out
kind
on.
Kind of.
Fuck.
I don't know. My dog park, I'm trying to get to know the people there and I think they look at me like, not this woman that talks. Doesn't she know we don't talk here?
Well, I think
we
it's
look
like
and smile
everywhere.
At the dogs.
Is that how it is in New York? More like everyone's in their own
just
zone
in,
more?
Just in the ones I've seen. I mean, I'll break the ice and people will warm up and be friendly, but mm-hmm. ultimately they'd be fine if you just looked at your phone or looked at your dog only.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's also a time of day thing, too, because I've gone to the dog park out here at different times of day and, like, middle of the day weekday people are more than welcome. They love talking to you because, like, that's their thing. That's what they do.
Yeah, their job.
Yeah, they're on it. They're probably actors. Yeah.
That is true. More quirky people come out. And then mm-hmm. in the morning, people have to get
they're
to
like, yeah,
job,
they got
to
so get shit like, done. Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. the middle of the day where just people crap. Are still sleeping because they did stupid shit all night.
Yeah.
That's right. Actually a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just feeling that out because I've always felt like it would be cool to meet a guy at a dog park, but it's like...
Oh, yeah. It's actually really easy to talk to strangers at a dog park.
Yeah.
You should just go
in without
a dog. I guess
it is because you just say, I've done that.
Yeah.
And awesome. I've just hung out with the dogs. I haven't talked to anyone.
Yeah, you should bring in a leash and just be like, oh, it's my ghost dog.
Yes. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to come here every day and, like, just freak them out.
Just pet
get
the
some
air
sympathy
in front
bucks.
Of you.
Yeah. I want to meet a guy who has a dog. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like they seem rugged to me, but they're not, are they?
Oh, I think it's so attractive when guys have dogs.
Well, subliminally, they can care for someone.
Exactly.
He's like, get dog.
Thank God.
And they're like playful. I mean, to me, it means like it's like they like to be outside.
Yeah it's
friendly.
A lot of good things.
Yeah, they're like playful.
You're kind of committed to a schedule. Like it takes a.
But also, most of them, I think, are in relationships generally. A lot of couples get dogs.
Yeah, but like, what about like? I mean, a hot single guy with a dog.
Yeah.
Hello.
Shows he's capable.
Dogs.
Yeah, capable of commitment. Shows that he knows how to love something. Yeah, responsibility. Yeah.
I will say, like, when I wrote for MTV, like every list I had to write of like ways to make yourself more attractive to girls, like every one of those lists, I always one of the numbers was get a dog.
Get a dog.
What were the other suggestions?
Wear black.
Wear clothes that
fit.
Agreed.
Just be a goth. Just be a goth.
Put on black eyeliner.
Wear black. Be an undertaker.
Love Manson.
Work in a funeral home.
Be Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Just like be a goth with a chihuahua.
I hope all those lists ended in be Johnny Depp. Okay. All right.
Specifically Johnny Depp from Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Speaking of Johnny Depp.
No.
Werewolf or vampire?
Oh. Old vampire. I guess they're like notoriously sexy.
Yeah.
And if a wolf was sexy, then it would be like bestiality.
But he's only a wolf
fun.
Like when there's a full
once
moon.
A month. Yeah.
Oh, and then you can't even trust him though. He's like Dr. Jekyll. Whereas the vampire, he shows his colors from the get go. He's like, I'm going to seduce you so that I can drink your blood. And you're like, okay.
I think if you could sync up with a werewolf, that would be perfect.
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
maybe
meaning,
like the perfect
like if you sync up your
angry.
Period with the,
oh, the moon.
With the full moon.
You just might.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that would be perfect. You'd be like, cool. We're just going to spend a weekend apart.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
I'll do mine.
Also, Joe Manganiello played a werewolf on True Blood.
Yeah,
so
that's all I keep thinking of.
That's right.
He can.
Yeah.
You're right. He brought sexy back to the to the werewolf community.
I didn't realize that. I was going to, because, okay, if Joe Manganiello did, then I think werewolf.
But what would you guys rather be, a werewolf or vampire?
Oh, werewolf.
Oh, really?
Werewolf.
Yeah.
I'd rather be a werewolf.
Remember Teen Wolf? You could change.
Yeah.
You impress people.
But I feel like, werewolf is more like, unpredictable. Like, you would go out and murder people at night.
Yeah, and you don't like that about yourself. You're like, no.
But I guess a vampire, you have to do that too, right?
Yeah.
No, because I feel like vampire, I'm more at peace with it because I'm just, like you said, I'm always the vampire.
And
like,
you're in control, too.
You're in control. Like, you remember what you did. And, like, I feel like vampire, you get over with. Like, you get the bite, and then you're just one.
I mean, it's not like we haven't experienced a night like a werewolf, though.
Oh, no.
I woke up, and there was a lot of weird hair around.
That's why I don't want to be one. That's exactly why I don't want to be one.
Like, lock yourself up for the weekend somewhere. It's fine. I don't know. Also, you would never see the sun again if you were a vampire. Think about that.
Yeah, that and you live forever. I mean, Interview with a Vampire turned me off of wanting to be a vampire.
Yeah.
That movie just clinched it for me.
Yeah.
That's so funny to me.
That movie disturbed me because it was the first time Tom Cruise wasn't hot to me.
Because of who else was in the movie or something?
I guess
was Gary Oldman hotter to you or Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
I think I Gary Oldman was the first one.
I know. You went straight to Oldman.
Love Gary Oldman.
I do too.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine a world where Tom Cruise isn't hot. So I had to think of what the heck
is
wrong with
this. That's the only movie I don't think he's hot in. It has something to do with the coloring. He's a little pale.
Yeah.
It is like a very weirdly colored film. Like it's a kind of like dark and like gray.
Everyone else looks hot except him. Like he doesn't have a face for vampiring.
Yeah. It's always a sad movie when like the switch happens. You know what I mean? Like when Johnny Depp stopped being attractive.
Yes.
What's the Tom Hanks? It was a Tom Hanks movie when I stopped being. I was like, Terminal. Oh, got jowly. Never come back from jowly. Mm. Yeah,
that doesn't remember.
Pierce Brosnan too, and like the last James Bond movie. I was like, oh, he got paunchy.
He was so hot.
Yeah,
I went to a screening of a show. It was like, and the show had been on for like 6 years, and I went to the finale, and like one of the actresses at the end was like, oh, really fun to watch all of us age over.
Yeah, you don't want to see all that. It is weird to be on a show for a very long time because then, you have to age on screen. I was just quiet because I can't even think. I feel like that girl who finds the geek attractive and everybody else is like, ew, not them.
Me too.
Because I don't think there's ever been a moment where I've been like, you don't have it anymore.
Tom
I think because I, all of them.
Any
A-lister. You know, like Sean Connery. He's got to be like, you know, 80-something.
Still hot.
But people say that, yeah. So I think in my mind, I just picture, even Harrison Ford, I picture like the earliest time I saw them and keep them like that.
Yeah, I don't really have any turning point, guys. I mean, Johnny Depp just got weirder, I think.
It wasn't about him aging for me with Johnny Depp. It was just like, I used to think he was so cool and like legitimately artsy. Like I went to a screening of, what's it called? Pirates of the Caribbean.
I've never...
like come that close to just coming from looking at someone. As like he sat down in like a director's chair and he was wearing like a tight white shirt and like ripped jeans and a leather jacket, and he sat down to start the interview and he was like, is it just me or is it hot in here? And he like took off his jacket and I was just like, I think I had to hang on to my chair. So
unearthly moans came from a side of the theater.
That was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he was, and then so like he was so hot. And then he just got lame. Like he didn't have that like mystery to him.
There was too many accessories at some point.
Yeah.
I feel like it was probably around the time of his divorce because, you know, drinking a little more.
Maybe he went a little nuts on like Etsy buying jewelry.
His
divorce.
I would love
to
see.
What if he was just advertising his Etsy shop the whole time and nobody ever got it?
Oh my God, Johnny Depp's Etsy shop. Imagine him with like handcrafted earrings. And just,
we
like,
should make that shop. There should be a character like Etsy.
Kinky rings galore.
All right, we have to, you guys imagine that. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
You're here with Abby Crutchfield.
Hi, I'm Abby.
AKA Curly Comedy on Twitter. Follow her on there if you're not. She's so funny.
Do it. Mm-hmm. A lot of free jokes coming at you.
Free.
Share them. Share them with your friends and family.
RT.
That's right. If you follow now, it will cost you nothing. Get in on the ground floor, guys.
Okay, guys, we answer lady problems in the third half of the show.
Yay.
Third half.
We're all there.
Yeah,
again.
Whatever. It's fine. If you have them, send them to ladytolady@maximumfun.org. Hit it, David.
Lady problems.
Hadaway produced this. What is love, guys?
Yes. I have a great Hadaway story.
Oh, great.
Not really, but I kept like driving and I was trying to tell my phone. I was like, Spotify, play Hamilton. And it kept playing that song. I kept playing Hadaway.
That's
it kept being like,
don't.
And I was like, no, play Hamilton.
It's like exactly the plot of Night at the Roxbury.
Spotify is just salty because it can't afford Hamilton tickets right now. So it was
It's like, no, you no, will listen
I can't
to
have it. You can't.
And then it got like really emotional. What is that?
Oh, Spotify. Okay, here we go. I enjoy attending live comedy. There's a show I go to regularly in my city. I live in a large, progressive, and socially aware city. Usually, I very much enjoy all the performers, or if they are not my taste, I clap and such, because not everything is going to appeal to everyone. The last time I went to this show, the final performer was upsetting. In the first few minutes, he bashed gay people, women, transgendered people, and used the word retarded to mean stupid at least half a dozen times. Everyone else was laughing like this was okay and funny. Do you guys have advice to a watcher of comedy for what to do in that kind of situation? I feel like just sitting there was a tacit endorsement of this behavior. I thought about walking out, but I haven't walked out of anything before. I hated feeling like the only one in the room that had a problem. It was hard to not feel overreactive. But I like to believe that comedy doesn't have to be hateful to be funny. So how do I handle offensive content in a live performance, especially one that I plan to attend again in the future?
Blog about it.
No.
I, as a comedian, prefer people to walk out if they're not enjoying the show. Yeah. It's so much better than disrupting it by heckling and keeping your sour face there the whole time glaring at the comedian, because it can be distracting. And
and you're proving your point without making a scene, you know, if you just leave.
You're telling the business. You're telling, and there's nothing wrong with having the audience see you walk out. They understand. If they're enjoying themselves, they weren't judge you for it. They'd be like, oh, they didn't care for it.
I do think, too, that if you, and I wouldn't say, like, you know, I think that's stupid that comedians are still doing that kind of stuff. But it's like, and maybe tell the venue not to like tattle, but to be like, you know, this guy wasn't my style. I hope you book like, you know, these people or something.
That's what I was going to say. I think having like a polite conversation with the venue, because people who own comedy clubs, all they care about is getting audience there. Like they're just trying to get performers to come that their audience is going to enjoy. So if they're hearing from their, like you come to this club often, they're going to value your opinion. Like I think if you can politely talk to the manager, and exactly say that, be like, hey, in the future, I actually really prefer, you know, the comedian, and maybe even say some specific comedians that you liked. Like, I really like this person and that person. And
And bear in mind, comedians are there to entertain you. It's a service for you, the audience. Yeah. Yes. So I don't think they, if you happen to disagree with their material, it's not because there's something wrong with them and something wrong with you. It's just a difference of opinion. Like, more people don't like a comedian than do like a comedian in general. Yeah. Because a sense of humor. So know that they're not there to make your night miserable, and they, you know, it's not, I think it's, we as a society see so many comedians handling heckler videos that we start to think it's some kind of opposition, and people are afraid to sit in the front row because, like, I don't want you to make fun of me.
Yeah,
it's
most
like,
comics,
we're here to entertain you.
Yeah, most comics just want to make you laugh. Mm-hmm. It's fine. And this guy doesn't sound like this, but I feel like there are also comics that, if this is, number one, this is not edgy material. This is kind of just like rote hack stuff that you're describing right here. That's kind of just, it is hateful and whatever. But like, there are people that try to walk edgy lines that I feel like they fail until they figure it out. This is not that person, I don't think, the way you're describing it. But I try to give people the benefit of the doubt if I'm watching a joke, that I see if you can kind of see where they're going too. Like, they might not 100% be there while you're getting there.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of blogs that I read like are that, where I'm just like, I don't think they meant exactly what you took out of it, but they haven't gotten the joke with what it is yet.
Right. Well, there's like a big difference between like using something, it's like a punching, you know, they said the punching down thing, whatever, between talking about a topic and between just like using something as a punchline, you know, which it sounds like this guy was just using shit as a punchline.
Yeah, I don't think this guy is what I'm talking about, but I just like want to also mention that, like, I see that sometimes that people get upset about stuff, and I'm like, I think that was just a point that was made not right.
Everybody just thinks, well, no one should ever joke about this, and that's true. Mm-hmm. You can joke about anything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Actually, like, some of the things that maybe are the most like hot button things, are the most that sometimes things that most need to be joked about.
Yeah
But exactly, some people do have that reaction where it's like, if you bring up even that subject matter at all, then people think that you're taking the wrong side for some reason. Not that that's happening.
I think it's because
this is not that.
I think there's a lot of times when people, there's like an issue that everyone is like uncomfortable to talk about, even in person to friends, and so then it's like someone on stage does, and it's like, ugh! And you know, no one like knows what to do.
Yeah.
So
you're not alone if you don't like some part of comedy, because everybody has that in them. There's things you find funny and you don't find funny, but I would definitely recommend just walk out.
Yeah, walk out, and also have faith, because you know, doing comedy every night, I still see these kind of performers, and they are getting like aged out.
Yeah,
like,
they're getting aged out.
The response that I generally see from crowds now is like silence. So, you know, that guy's going to learn eventually.
It's all going to police itself. And I think it's just important to give comics like the benefit of the doubt until they prove you wrong. Yeah.
Very true. Any other problems to solve, or did we just...
Thanks for coming to live comedy shows.
Yeah.
And also, I will say, if you like comics, support the comics that you like.
Yeah.
You know, like, I always have people come up to me after shows and they're like, oh man, that was so great. I'm like, cool, awesome, this is my name. And like, it's like they never find you again.
We need that show. Like, follow us on Twitter, buy our albums. We don't make a ton of money on comedy, so
yeah. And like the way that you're going to get the people that you agree with and you like and aren't doing this kind of stuff to propel is by like showing that they do have a support and a fan base behind them. So like really following up and like taking care of the people that you know that you like is really important.
Great point. This is why I plant a little tracking device on every audience member that
there you go
after a show, and I follow them on my laptop.
Perfect.
Awesome. That'd be so creepy. And then you like see one's outside your outside your hotel,
right?
Stalking the stalker.
Turn the tables.
Do we have time for another one or
no?
Right.
Okay.
We've been verbose.
Yes. It's all good.
Abby, so where can people find you on the internet?
Please follow me on Twitter at @CurlyComedy. And if you would like to see any performance dates, they are at curlycomedy.com. Again, I have just finished a tour with the Pink Collar Comedy Tour, which is three other women, including me. So that's Aaron Judge, Carrie Gravenson, and Caitlin Bailey, and we just finished a West Coast leg. We've played about 50 cities across the U.S. since 2012 now. It's been super fun. So, awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me on. This has been great.
Hell yeah. Have a great rest of your tour.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.